The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On today's episode, Two's Company, Three's a Nightmare, LB helps loosen you up, and why your cat couldn't make it through The Sopranos. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do yeah? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my god.
Hello, hello. This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, enjoying the Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
And just realizing how wrecked and hungover you are from last night.
That's right.
When you celebrated.
May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
I'm sure all the nerds are exhausted. And tonight, all the irresponsible COVID deniers will be exhausted from getting drunk and licking each other and sharing tacos on this American-made, non, you know, actually Mexican holiday.
Yes, I'm sure there's lots of used, dirty slave Leia outfits on the ground today.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure Ironic runs on Corona. Yes, Corona exactly. Light. You can't find one for love nor money. The lime population has been decimated all over this great land.
Yes, I was very excited. This is a big celebration here at this house. My son dressed up.
Oh, and what did he dress up as?
Well, he didn't dress up as a character. He just had, you know, the stormtrooper shirt.
Oh,
the
stormtrooper
hat and the stormtrooper backpack.
Very
Everything
nice.
Was kind of themed. But I have a friend whose daughter went out that was kind of like R2-D2 dress with the, you know, funky hairstyle. It was really fun.
In my normal fashion where I don't get obvious things,
yeah.
In my head it was like it was Easter and Passover. And I'm like, it's so great that they lined up this year. No. May the 4th and Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, it's always that way.
It's literally always that day.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day were so close to this year.
Exactly.
But again, that was the way my brain loses its brain every That's once in a while.
Exactly right.
So I am more invested in May the 4th than I've ever been.
Yes.
Because I haven't talked about it a lot on the show because I don't want this to be a Star Wars podcast.
Right, right.
But I continue in my quest.
Yes.
To watch all of Star Wars chronologically.
Unbelievable.
So I am still in Star Wars, The Clone Wars animated series.
Right, but you're pretty far now.
I'm in the middle of season 5.
Unbelievable.
It is so good.
Right?
I really like it. I really have to give it my rapt attention while I watch it. I can't just be doing whatever and candy crushing.
And now do you understand what I was saying when I was originally told you to do it this way? The characters of young Obi-Wan, Padme, Anakin, you are not really given who those characters are in the movies.
Yeah.
You really don't see them for who they really are until the cartoon.
Yeah, it's so good. Plus, like I was telling Clark, I'm in season 5, episode 9 for any super, super nerds that are listening. They're like, well, that was the episode in which it's where we're dealing with the younglings who are training to become Padawans.
Right. They're
to become masters.
Getting their kyber crystals.
Yes, they're getting their crystals. So it's like, oh, well, this is what Obi-Wan would have done. This is what Yoda would have done, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like, that part's really cool too, that I'm able to extrapolate back through all the grown Jedis I know.
Now, I know that you know generally about Star Wars stuff, mm-hmm. not specific, unless it's the stuff that you've already watched.
Yes.
But you do know about Baby Yoda, right?
I do know about Baby Yoda.
So Baby Yoda is in The Mandalorian. You haven't gotten there yet.
Correct.
However, Baby Yoda is 50 years old.
Okay.
Which means he is at the Jedi Temple with these other younglings.
Oh.
We just never see him. But you have to keep in mind that somewhere is a 2-year-old Baby Yoda
okay.
in that building.
That sounds like the cutest thing ever. I mean, Baby Yoda already is the cutest
right,
thing. Exactly. He's the breakout character of The Mandalorian.
True.
He's entered the zeitgeist hardcore.
Yeah, big time.
Entered the zeitgeist, I have. Does he talk that way? Because I haven't gotten to The Mandalorian.
No, he doesn't really talk.
Oh, he's a little squeaky
so
baby.
Young that he's still squeaky baby.
Gotcha.
Which means that if he was 2, even if he was 2, 3, 5 years old,
uh-huh.
he would be acting like an infant, like a newborn.
Oh.
Because their lifespan is so long.
Oh, Baby Yoda was once infant Yoda. Zygote Yoda, yeah. We get to
exactly tadpole Yoda.
Exactly. I love it. So yes, super excited about that.
We've been celebrating that, but there's also something else to celebrate that I'm really looking forward to. And you
what?
Know what that is? A new contest on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are doing a contest on Instagram for this show.
Yes.
We are reaching out to all of our fans, all of our listeners. If you go and follow us on Instagram, we're trying to get up to 3,000 followers. I believe we're at about 1,500 now. And we're
16, 17,
somewhere around that. We're going to try and double it,
mm-hmm.
get to 3,000. And once we get to 3,000, you're going to do something special, right?
Yes, I'm going to pick a follower at random and do a Zoom call with them, hang out and get to know them. And
so this is like, this is beyond Cameo, because in Cameo, you can request a message from you, but you're not getting a conversation with you.
No, I want to meet.
This is like a full conversation.
We're going to digitally meet, as we have met most of the people we met this last year.
Exactly.
I mean, I do love talking to fans. It sounds weird to say that. fans do come up to me, they wouldn't come up to me if they weren't fans, because they wouldn't know who the hell I was.
True.
But I do love talking to you guys, and, you know, you ask me questions and then I ask you questions and you're like, I didn't think you would care about that. But so that is, we're going to pick a random follower at randomish.
Yep.
I'll have to figure out how to do that. I guess I could just scroll and point.
True.
To do, like a Zoom call with and get to know you and thank you for listening to the show and answer whatever questions you have. You can take a screenshot of us.
Nice.
You know, and say, here we were together-ish. but that reminds me of something else.
Yeah.
Some people have been making fan art.
Oh.
Like, some people have been sending these awesome pieces of gorgeous art.
Wow.
Of course, they're of me.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I'm not saying that's why they're gorgeous, but Lord knows my self-esteem hasn't rocketed thus far that much. But they're so cool.
Yeah.
And one is this kind of black and white. If you look at my Instagram at LB Denberg, you can see them because I'm posting them all. Eventually I will get to post them all, but there's, you know, this black and white, almost looks like a comic book character of me, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And then someone else did this beautiful, like colorful 90s, you know, style picture of me in the corn. It's actually based on a picture of me in the corn in real life.
Right.
So fan art is like making my day.
Absolutely.
So if you have some talent that you are hiding under a bushel, unbushel that shit and send it to, there's a thingy.
Oh, yeah.
LoriBethDenbergFanArt@gmail.com.
Oh, nice. I also have to think, there's probably also some musicians out there listening to us too. Maybe we do have, I think, we have the best theme song of all the podcasts.
I can't imagine that that is not the truth.
Right? So what we could also say, if you wanted to do a remix of our theme song, we would probably like that too.
Yes.
Send it to us.
We'd or just love a that. Song based on what you've learned. Or send us a question in the form of a song.
Perfect. Oh, I love that.
We'll be like, well, the stanza of this question is a little muddled, but the bridge really gets the point across.
All of a sudden, we're like reaching Lin-Manuel.
Yeah, exactly. And
he's rapping to us. Anyway, all of you out there listening, please join Instagram. Send us your art. Send us your music. We'd love that. But right now, I think it's been a long intro and we need to get to some questions.
Yes. So
we are moving on to question number one. And question number one is from Ariella. And hi. Ariella says, I know someone in my friend circle who is connected with an ex-boyfriend of mine who I am Facebook friends with. He lives in another state. And when I asked my ex, he said she DM'd him out of the blue. So I am the only connection between the two. I'm not jealous or anything. I'm happily in another relationship and he wore socks with sandals. Ugh. So I've always gotten a little bit of a she is trying too hard vibe off of her. And I wonder if this is single white female situation. Is she a big weirdo and I should unfriend her?
Huh. First of all, I made a noise, but I have worn sandals with socks. I don't think it comes off quite as like dad at the beach as, you know.
Well, when it's on you.
When it's on me, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm super from the Valley today. I am from the San Fernando Valley where Valley girls come from.
You are.
So Ariella, I don't know that you need to unfriend her or whatever. The whole point of social media really is meeting people.
Yeah.
You know.
That you had 2 minutes of a relationship with 5 years ago.
Exactly. No, but seeing someone else.
Yeah.
Like originally back in the day when you would first check in on Facebook.
Yeah.
It would show you other Facebook people that were there at the same time.
Oh.
So, and they stopped doing that, and that's smart.
Yeah.
Because you could just go up and be like, hey, didn't we go to school together? Person who I don't know that I looked at your profile, so I have information about you.
Right.
You know, but
yeah, that's creepy.
The concept of social media to an extent is, you know, joining these groups, meeting people that have the same interests as you, forming friendships, forming relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's a more less pointed version of like the online dating that we were talking about last week.
Yep.
So she can do that. She can DM a guy she maybe thinks is cute.
Sure.
If she knows that it wouldn't hurt you as someone in her friend circle.
Right.
If
right.
this was a guy who broke your heart and all this, you know, lingering stuff.
And she was your best friend, you know, in high school or something.
Exactly. But to say, I'm not jealous. She's trying too hard. But if she's trying too hard with a guy that wears socks and sandals, what the fuck do you care?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know that she's single white femaling you.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So I would just say, no, you can let it go. If she gets weird about it, if whatever, you know, that's a different subject.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For what it is, I know what it's like to be the one trying too hard. So as long as it's not actually affecting you negatively, let them socially network the way people are meant to socially network.
Yeah, I agree. That's very good. Good advice. So let's move on to question number two.
Okay.
Question number two is from Brad. And Brad has a very intimate question.
Okay.
Brad says, do you have any tips for a gay man to learn to bottom? I am super interested in receiving anal sex, but I cannot seem to bottom no matter how hard I try. I'm extremely tight. I pretend to be a top, but I really want to bottom and be dominated. What can I do to become more relaxed when getting anal? A friend suggested poppers, but I've never tried them before.
Okay. Who's
that's Brad.
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 fuck the poppers, Brad. An interesting choice of phrase was, I can't seem to bottom no matter how hard I try. Stop trying.
There you go.
Again, we got to get sponsored by a
lube company,
a lube company, a sex toy company, something, whatever.
Yeah.
Butt plugs come in every width, length, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's for a reason.
Yeah.
I would suggest, first of all, you just want it so much.
Right.
So it's like, that's not very relaxing.
Right.
You know, if you know, I am sober, but I can really appreciate the concept of, if you do that, having a couple drinks.
Sure.
Smoking a joint, whatever it is.
Calming the mind.
Calming the mind, calming the body.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, if your shoes are too tight, you got to break them in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's every size of toy out mm-hmm. there. So start with something small.
Yeah.
You know, and get used to, use lube, do it up. But also, this could be something, I don't know if you're in a relationship, I don't know if you're just having fun with guys, but you might want to, you know, if there's somebody you trust, if there's somebody you really have a connection with, say, hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And if they're into being a dom, they'll be like, hell yeah, I will.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, it's not just, you know, you dominate someone and then throw them to the ground.
Sure,
there's
sure,
like
sure.
The pre-preparation and then the aftercare of it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. And even if you're just doing it by yourself,
right?
Get the small, you can't just go to town.
Yeah.
Porn does not show any of the preparation.
That's exactly porn, right.
Just, it's like, you know, shove in that huge cock and pretend like you didn't spend, you know, half an hour before the camera rolled getting ready.
Yeah.
And that is what happens most of the time.
The magic of movie making.
It is the magic of movie making. That's what happened just before we rolled on every scene on All That. Was a half an hour of just getting things ready.
Yeah, Brad, I'm going to give you the same advice that I give my 6-year-old son on gaming.
Okay.
Which is practice and patience.
Ah, yes.
Practice and patience.
Yeah.
With those two, and again, Lori Beth, that's absolutely 100% right. I think the toy suggestion is a very good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect way to practice, right?
Yes.
You don't need somebody else there necessarily. Maybe that could add to it, but yeah, that's an excellent suggestion, but I'm just saying, practice and patience.
Well, yeah, that's the other part of, like, you need to be able to relax.
Yeah, and this could take days, weeks, you know, you could be a slow learner, so to speak.
You start with the little.
Yeah.
You start with the pinky.
Yeah.
You know, and the fist is not, you know, take it one digit at a time. That's what they say in the recovery community. One
exactly.
digit at a time. If I'm on day one of the pinky and I'm thinking about the fist, I'm not enjoying the pinky.
Exactly.
So start small, relax.
Such good advice,
and
Brad.
Poppers,
enjoy the pinky.
Yeah, poppers, just forget it. That's a whole.
Yeah, you don't need to go that
far. It doesn't, like, you know, it's bleh.
Yeah, I agree. So hopefully that helps, Brad. Let us
please
know how
let
it goes.
Us know how it goes. Honestly, of all the ones, I really want my advice to help here.
Every week we get more. It's like when a woman is giving birth and like, oh, we're 14 millimeters dilated.
Yes, exactly.
Every week we get a new. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to question number three. And question number three is from somebody named Veronica.
Oh, I like that name.
Yeah. And Veronica says, one of my best friends is a boyfriend girl. In the decade I've known her, she's never been single. She will regularly bring the boy du jour along when we hang out without giving me any kind of heads up. I love her to pieces, and so over the years, I have come to just accept this about her. However, I cannot stand her new boyfriend. He is very, very nice, and I hate him. There's just something off about him. Plus, he's a notorious mansplainer. The last time I got stuck hanging out with him, he spent the entire afternoon explaining my career to me. And no, he did not have any clue what he was talking about. I have tried to gently explain to her several times now, that I don't enjoy spending time with him, and that at the very least, I'd like a heads up rather than an ambush. But she just isn't hearing me. She's one of my closest friends, and I don't want to lose her, but I cannot be around this guy, and I'm sick of my boundaries being ignored. What do I do?
Veronica. Nothing's worse than having to spend time with someone you do not like.
Yeah.
And you're all, he's a wonderful guy. I just don't like him. He mansplains, and this is like, he's not a wonderful guy then. I appreciate you being nice. And I think the problem might be you're being too nice.
Yeah.
You know, you've gently explained to her, it isn't just about this guy.
Yeah.
Part of what I hear is, am I not important enough to you that you want to spend time with me alone?
Right.
Or are you so, from my point of view, from my point of view of a friend like that, like, are you unable to spend 5 minutes away from a man?
Right.
And if not, why?
Yeah.
And you say you love her dearly. So that's kind of where I might go with it is I really want to spend time with you alone. Our friendship is important to me and you're important to me, but it's always about the guy with you.
Yeah.
And that's annoying. And you can, you know, at that point, if she doesn't, you know, like, oh, well, no, we just got to be together and this and that. You're like, well, then don't come over.
Yeah.
Because I don't fucking need this douche on my couch.
Oh.
You know, and you say she's a boyfriend girl. She's never been without a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really sound like any of them were the one.
Right.
You know, and as a friend, sometimes you do say, yeah, this guy's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And when your boundaries are being, you know, you say that, you know, your boundaries are not being respected.
Mm-hmm.
You've gently talked to her about it. You've said, oh, can you call? She hasn't done that. If you set a real boundary, like, let's hang out Wednesday, come alone.
Right.
Like you're picking up a ransom.
Right.
Come alone. No police. And she breaks that. There's got to be consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's also a way to do this where if you're setting up the get together, you know, it's hard right now because of how the world is, but there would be a time when you would actually buy tickets for things.
Yes.
And in that world, you know, you could just buy 2 tickets for something and say, hey, I have an extra ticket for something. You should come with me.
Yeah.
And that way you're kind of guaranteeing yourself only her.
Maybe
that's something that you could also think about is just completely taking over the scheduling and whatever the point of your get together is, take charge of that.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can say, okay, I'm going to pick you up at, you know, so at such and such time, and I'm taking you to a special place for you, like making sure that she understands this isn't a big get together. I just need you on Tuesday night or whatever, Friday night, whatever it is. And we're
for the Alameda Elementary School production of Cirque du Soleil. It's you and me, friendo.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, you can do that. But if the bigger issue is the bigger issue is you having to spend time with an asshole that you don't like.
Yeah.
And your friend is subjecting you to that, even knowing. And that's the other thing. I don't know if she knows how you feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said, oh, I've gently asked her to just not ambush me at least. It's like, you could, if you wanted to lay down your boundaries, say, I want just you to come over. I want it to be the two of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if she says, why? She's already not respecting your boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So say, your boyfriend's a douche potato and I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I don't like you when he's with you, whatever the circumstances are.
Yeah.
You know, you might just have to lay it out.
Can I come up with one other alternate idea for Veronica?
I will allow it.
Three words. Sabotage their relationship.
Oh.
Right.
All right. This is getting a little dark.
I'm not saying you gotta kill them.
You're not saying that. Veronica is a name that could like skew from cute girl next door to dangerous vixen.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Femme fatale.
Yes. So do what you gotta do to protect yourself and your boundaries.
And your friendship.
And your friendship. But if she's completely disregarding what you need and want, she's not
being
doing much.
Friend.
She's not being a good friend. Exactly. Yeah. So good luck.
Ooh, I hope that helps, Veronica.
I hope this was some good mansplaining about what you need to do with your life.
Yeah, seriously. I really try not to mansplain. I try so hard. Okay. The fourth question of the day. I'm so excited. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Okay.
Is a phone call.
Oh, I love the phone calls.
Yay. And this phone call is from Lucas.
Okay.
Lucas, take it away.
Hi, Lori Beth. My name is Lucas, and I am from Missouri, but I was born in California. Anyways, I have a whole box set of the Beverly Hills 90210 seasons, and I have a cat who just will not watch the show with me. I don't know if she thinks it's boring or if she just doesn't like any TV in particular, but I want to know, how can I get her to watch Beverly Hills 90210 with me, and how will I have her enjoy it?
Okay. That's Lucas. Lucas, a lot of this has to do with the breed.
Oh.
Okay. Siamese cats love 90210.
Interesting.
They love it.
Interesting.
But you go for just a tabby, and they notoriously don't like it. They can't get over how much older
Ian Ziering looks,
or Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah.
Was like 35 when the rest of them were 19.
Sure.
Tabbies sense that, and they just can't suspend their disbelief enough to watch it.
Well,
you look at it like a tuxedo little cat, they're more Saved by the Bell. They need something more, you know, cartoonish, something lighter.
Interesting.
Even though they will run into that episode where Jesse takes speed.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And that is, you know, a moment for a tuxedo to really reckon with, you know, that there's serious stuff in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what breed of cat you have.
That's a very good point. Very good point. He could, honestly, it could just be a stray from the pound, as far as you know.
It could be. And then you have this stray from a hard background you don't even know, watching all these spoiled kids from Beverly Hills with all of their problems.
So what you're saying is for him to really figure out what the best show is for the cat, he needs to try and do a little bit of a marathon and show him all of the teen high school shows that are available, and that'll determine what kind of a cat he has.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I would do would be to go to catsfavoritetv.com.
Sure.
And because it has a breed by breed kind of chart.
Right.
You know, comparison. We'll take the shows across the top of it and the breeds down the side.
Yeah.
And match up, you know, which one's like which one's best.
Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest high school comedies of all time, of course, being the Steve Harvey Show.
Oh, yes.
Which cat would be a fan of the Steve Harvey Show?
Blind and deaf cats don't mind the Steve Harvey Show. No, cool cats. Kind of the silver, not silver, but gray with the black stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Like my cat Sprinkles used to
be.
They enjoy the Steve Harvey Show.
Okay.
They enjoy it. It's a little kitsch.
Right.
But they get behind it.
Gotcha. Maybe they go out afterwards and put on an oversized cat suit.
Yes.
Nice.
So that's, I mean, really look into the breed. If you really want, you can stick your cat in the carrier and put it next to you on the couch, Lucas, and pretend that you have a friend and aren't cruel.
Or maybe try the newer, updated 90210.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yes.
The new class or whatever.
Or get
it was
a kitten and just train it from the outset.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the solution.
With the, like, you know, clockwork orange right, things yeah, holding open its eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's all great. Of that is great advice.
Mm-hmm, I love it. All right. Thank you so much, Lucas.
Yeah.
Let's peel back the curtain and go behind the scene.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to the show. I am super duper excited. I was just going to say I was super excited, but it is super duper because we are about to meet. Well, I've already met him. You are about to meet Jeremy Balin, who is the producer and editor and beauty brains and brawn behind this podcast.
Yay.
None of those are right. None of those descriptors are correct.
So I met Jeremy through Danny and Mike and being on their podcast and then doing a little tour with Danny, Nostalgia Personified, that Jeremy is also part of the cast and the producer of. So I just got to love me some Jeremy, and then we, you know, started this up, and now he can't get rid of me. So Jeremy, and he'll tell you, Jeremy, I know you do a lot of different podcasts. You're a producer. You work in television and movies. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about yourself.
About the glorious life that is Jeremy. Well, yeah, I do. Well, hello. Nice. It's an honor to be on here. Obviously, we created this little morsel of a podcast thing. And now look, 26 episodes later, here we are.
Right.
Who knew?
Right?
Who knew?
Come on.
But as LB said, yeah, I do the Adventures of Danny and Mike podcast on the Last Podcast Network. So we've been doing that for about 10 years, almost 8 years.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Long time. 2013. So we're getting up on 8 years, I guess.
Yeah. But,
I can't do math. Math was not one of those descriptors.
Yeah. No, yeah. That just means you're the beauty and brawn.
Yeah, exactly.
As you continue to disappoint us, we will take those monikers off.
Yeah. I'll pop this shirt off right now and prove it.
Please. Me too.
I've been working. Danny's a good friend, probably my best friend in the world, one of them. And so we've been writing and creating and doing pod stuff and shooting dumb little sketches with our group called Man Boobs, which was sort of what we did, put a lot of time into back in the day. And then that sort of transitioned to podcasting. So lucky enough to do a touring show where we toured the country. And we lucky enough to have LB on a whole leg where we did. I think we did both East Coast and West Coast, right? And Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was the best. That was the worst. Well, okay. I was about to say that was the worst thing about the pandemic. No, there's plenty. There's 600,000 worst things about the pandemic. Yeah. But as far as just what the quarantine did, that was the thing that I was enjoying so much was going out on the road with you and Danny and doing Nostalgia Personified. And so that was like super the bummer thing that I had to give up.
Yeah, we had such a good head of steam and we were doing a lot of great shows and people were loving it. And unfortunately the world paused, but.
And we would take turns giving Danny shit.
And then, you know, there was one magical night that we should definitely talk about. I don't think anybody's heard about this except for if you were at that show in California.
Long Beach.
Long Beach.
Yeah.
Long Beach, California.
I believe it was the day after I met you for the first time because I went and saw one of you guys in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you were both steaming from the night before.
Oh, that right. It was the next night because Danny was so... Well, tell the story.
Yeah.
Well... As it happens, sometimes LB knows this, but sometimes I think people, when they see you and you're like a huge influence on their childhood or just a celebrity of some sort in a bar. Anyway, basically the owner just took it upon himself to get Danny smashed. And obviously Danny didn't put a stop on it or a kibosh on it. He just kept drinking these really gross.
Well, I got to break in for just a moment and say that the owner was a gross douchebag to start with.
Yeah.
He said some stuff to me that I was like, we just met and you're disgusting. And that takes a lot because I go pretty far. It takes a lot to offend me. And part of it was just like, he was like, I mean, honestly, I'll just, I don't drink, I'm sober. Mm-hmm. So we would go to all these breweries and stuff. And he's like, what can I get you to drink? And I'm like, I would love a Diet Coke with some cherries if you have them. And he goes, oh, I've got these blah, blah, blah cherries. He goes, they're so good, they're going to make you cum. We had known each other about
14 seconds.
Yeah, we had known each other about 14 seconds. He is a gross old guy. This wasn't a fan from Nickelodeon,
That's true. Yeah.
So then this guy keeps giving Danny some weird, like, Italian liquor, wine, something. And Danny is not saying no.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be very, you know, very appreciative of the hospitality.
He is drinking out of that chalice. He's like, you know, I think he's whatever. Well, sometimes we do drink and sometimes, we get a little buzzed or a little drunk at a show or whatever. That's all fine. But this guy would not, you know, we were like on stage at some point. And we're like, let's get him some coffee or something because he's starting to slur. He's starting to pick fights with people in the crowd. Somebody in the crowd was pointed out at some point, and Danny was like, I bet you don't even know Petunia Petunia had legs.
Because everybody thinks she's a mermaid.
You think she's a mermaid.
At this point, just to give you some idea, Danny was like blacked out, basically.
Yeah.
He did not know what was going on. My favorite thing is because Jeremy is like super chill, mild-mannered, really caring person. And Jeremy's on stage with me and Danny while we're doing the show. And Danny keeps just like dropping his mic, like for effect, not because he was like, I'm dropping it, I'm drunk.
Right.
And then like the second or third time, Jeremy walks over, he picks it up, and not into the mic, but he goes to Danny, stop dropping the fucking mic. Like, you just got all like super scary. And I was like, ooh, that's a little attractive. But it was very rough.
That was the beginning of the rails, you know, going off the rails. And then it got, I mean, everybody has those nights, but, and he felt horrible that next day. I think, Clark, you remember that. But
I do.
But yeah, so
he apologized to me and I wasn't there.
Right. He wasn't even there.
You know, it was really cute, though.
In
this interview with Jeremy that I'm just talking through, the next day we were at the Tim Burton bar. What's it called?
Yeah.
It's in LA.
It's some Tim Burton theme
Beetle House
bar.
Or something.
Yes, I think the Beetle House.
And
so Danny does come in so embarrassed and so remorseful. And
yeah, he slinks in. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like, he even sat me down and was like, I'm so sorry, that'll never happen again. And then we're there, you know, usually the boys will have, you know, we do a lot of breweries. We go to a lot of breweries to do those shows. They'll have a beer or two. And Danny's just walking around really sad. And I said, I go, like an hour later, I go, Danny, do you want a beer? And he looked at me like, yes.
Like a puppy dog that had pissed in
like
the kitchen or something.
Like,
yeah.
He was not going to drink, you know, which he did the right thing. But I was like, you can have a beer. It's okay. Because I'm the best babysitter ever.
Well, I mean, it's true because, I don't know, everybody's different when they're kind of blacked out drunk, But it's he's one of your our closest friends, and you want to take care of the guy, and you don't want him to like do something crazy. So part of my anger was just like, slow the fuck down, man.
Yeah.
LB and I will finish this up. We'll do the show. There's like 10 minutes left. I mean, he got belligerent, and then we sort of we acted like pros and finished it off.
And Jeremy has the footage of that show, the audio. We have yet to use it against. But enough about Danny's intervention in absentia.
Yeah.
Because you, Jeremy, have a lot that you do, and I want to share that with the world.
I do. I obviously Bad Advice is on the Seltzer Kings Network, which is a network that I helm. And we basically started with a few smaller podcasts and have trying to build a network. And I don't know. So I do that. I have a lot of like podcasts on a weekly basis that we put out. And then, you know, I do one of my own called Going Dork, which is about oddities and UFOs and the lighter side of life and conspiracies. No QAnon shit, just the good kind of conspiracies.
Now, are you like super into that or are you skeptical or what?
I love it. I watch every show I watch. I've been since, you know, as long as I can remember, I've loved like sci-fi and aliens and the thought of like, you know, oh, we're not alone. And I think the you know, I made a revelation on our last podcast where it was like, I feel like by June 1st, we're going to something relating to UFOs or life on another planet is going to unfold. And I think they're going to tell us that they have some crafts from another world they found either in the 40s or continually from the 40s till now. And
like some neat alien basket weaving kind of stuff.
Or like metals that are not cataloged or unknown or like, you know, that can change shape. And like, I think that's kind of the supposed gist. And there's a whole thing of like, we talked about it on my last full episode, which was just about UFOs in America. And it was just sort of a wide scope view of theories. And one of the theories is that we sort of signaled them with our nuclear wars. And that because they, you know, they're much more highly advanced than us, that they're seeing that we're about to destroy ourselves and they're kind of swooping in to like save the day. So that's a theory.
Or I would swoop in to loot our shit after we killed everybody.
There you go. Have a nice
house.
They're
like, dude, there's so many DVDs.
Abbey Road is just like the new Seltzer King Studios. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm shocked that there's been a camera on Mars for months, years now. And yet there's still no Bigfoot footage. There's still no, if you look at frame 16 and you look at frame 24, there's something moving back there. Like,
there's
I'm
a lot
waiting
of that,
for that. Where there's supposed to be some little blur on the camera and it's a Martian or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fun and games to me. I don't, obviously, I haven't seen a UFO per se or been, invited, but... yeah, it's just a fun, like, I just love the culture of the whole thing. It's kind of like a funny, a lot of it's bullshit, but then some of it's like, oh, well, there's a lot of science behind it and a lot of research and people actually really putting time into this and not just like shrugging it off as something.
So are you a student? Like, have you gone through Project Blue Book?
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All the big things, like, you know, the Skinwalker Ranch stuff, you know, I've been, you know, huge on that for a while. And obviously the show came out and it's pretty good, but. And there's just all over the country, there's weird, you know, like sightings of like things crashing and then military showing up and like, you know, from Kecksburg, Pennsylvania to like clear in the 1800s, you know, at the turn of the century, like there was weird sightings and in the newspapers of things that people just couldn't explain. So who knows? Probably some dude and his drunk buddy, you know, just fucking around with Bigfoot costumes, but so it's still fun to imagine.
Definitively, in this moment, please tell me, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, based on actual events or fiction?
I think fiction. I think that one is fiction all the way.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's Steven Spielberg.
Well, look who I have here.
Our next guest. Yeah.
It's just what's his name?
Elliot.
It's just Elliot going like, dude, no one, everyone knew I was real to start with.
That's Clark's dog
so that's Going Dork. That is your
starring
Jeremy Balin. But you like keep a bunch of other podcasts afloat.
Yeah, I do the Bradshaw Boys. I produced that and co-created it, and it has just went to crazy levels that we never thought. All of the actors have been on in some capacity, the director, the creators, like,
wow,
they have a really good in with a lot of the gals now, and I'm hoping they get a cameo in the new series. But I don't know how it's gonna work. Yeah, as like Bagel Boys or something, you know what I mean?
They
like,
dress so, up, something they get dressed weird, up yeah. like Kim Cattrall, and they just each take a turn playing Samantha.
Yep.
But like one on top of the other, like a kid that's trying to sneak into a movie theater style, right?
Yeah, red wig. Yep.
Red wig.
And then just saying like very sexual things, like you know. the Bradshaw Boys, they have a lot of those goodies. But So that's something I do on a weekly basis. And what else?
So one other thing, I mean, there's a million things about you to talk about, Jerbo. But one thing that you and your lovely lady, Marla, who I love 100 times, have been doing since the pandemic and quarantine started was you have been fostering old dogs, elderly dogs, and really giving them super love and really great care. And then they can get adopted to a forever home. So
yes,
that's part of what I love about you so much.
Yay.
Yeah, we just saw the opportunity in the beginning of a pandemic of being like, hey, we're going to be inside. And we kind of knew like this is going to be a year. We're going to be locked up for a year. Like just to get over this. So we both are huge animal lovers, and I have a dog daughter with a friend that I sort of co-parent or watch when I have, you know, when she needs.
His dog's name is Muppet, Clark.
Wow, very wide range of a name. Wouldn't go specific if you saw her, for a single Muppet. You're just classifying it as all Muppets. Yeah.
Well, what type of dog is Muppet? A dog.
Muppet is a Cavapoo.
No, she's a Cavalier or a Cocker Spaniel?
Cavapoo. So she's a Cavalier Pool mix thing. Yeah. Made in a lab, I think. But we love her nonetheless. So we thought, you know, that would be a great idea to sort of help get animals out of the cages sort of during the pandemic, especially if there weren't as many people to help and yada yada. So we've worked with Second Chance Rescue for the last year and a half.
Wow.
In New York, and they're just an amazing rescue, and we were all about like giving them homes and love, and you know, for as much as we could. So I recommend it to anyone. I love Muppet. She's a designer dog. I love her. I would never tell this to her face, but if you can adopt a dog at your local shelter, it's such a better thing to do.
Yeah.
There's so many dogs in need, and they're so special. And yeah, I recommend Second Chance. They're amazing.
Excellent. All right, Jeremy, I have one last question.
Okay.
Where's the girl? She's been missing 4 days. You were the last one seen with her.
Listen, I know my bathroom's been recently bleached, but that is not, there's no correlation there, I guarantee you.
You can't bleach a mattress. Yeah, the sirens. True. You can't bleach a mattress. I saw on SVU. Yeah. You cut it open. I don't know why I'm giving you tips. Where's the girl?
Yeah. Well, depending on which one we're talking about, Marla's in Florida with her family.
Yeah,
so
that's
She's hanging out with them. And then that's the only girl, I'm using air quotes, that I come in contact with on a daily basis. So
okay, fair enough.
That's it.
And I must have gotten your life confused with an episode of Criminal Minds.
Okay.
I think that, you know what? I do think that's what happened.
Sure. Happens
I'm
all
sure
time.
It was.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's all good.
So I just want to end by saying, if you love this podcast, you have Jeremy to thank in large part for that. And I appreciate you more than a million.
Me too.
Well, it's very nice and I appreciate it. And yes, I've worked very hard, but I think it's a three-headed machine and I love what you guys do. And the history between you guys just makes this podcast and the relationship. So I think you guys do a great job and I can't wait to do an episode in LA with you in the sunshine. And I can't wait to see what all of these, I think you're helping so many people. Yeah, I know it's a joke kind of as the bad advice, but there's so much good advice in there and there's so much life experience that you guys pass on to people that I think is very important, especially in times like this. So I will say for the people out there that listen, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, babe.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything you do and for showing us
Behind the Scene.
All right. Well, that was so much fun. I hope everyone out there now, you can all more clearly understand what's happening behind the scenes here at Bad Advice. But let's move on to our final question of the podcast. Are you ready for this, Lori Beth?
I am.
All right. Here we go. This is, once again, I am happy to say, yet another phone call. Very excited. This is a phone call from Alex. Alex, take it away.
Hi, Lori, Beth, and Clark. My name is Alex. I'm from Wisconsin. And I was calling to get your advice on how to cope when you're in a really bad depressive episode. I find that sometimes I just can't get day-to-day tasks done, whether it be laundry, dishes, housework, that sort of thing. And I'm just looking for advice on how to get those things done when your brain just is not letting you do that. Thanks so much. I love the show, and I hope to hear from you guys. Thanks.
That was Alex.
Alex, first of all, nobody's going to be surprised at what I have to say. If you have not already, go and see a doctor. Go and see a psychiatrist.
Yep.
If you are having this deep of a debilitating depression, you need help.
Right.
You might need help. I shouldn't tell anyone what they need. You might need help. You definitely might need medication.
Yeah.
I've spoken on the show before about how I'm on medication, how I've gone off it and saw the difference.
Right.
And, you know, so if you have not, Alex, reached out for help from a medical professional,
yeah,
please, please do that.
Absolutely.
If you already have, call up that medical professional, call up the doctor, psychiatrist, and say, we might need to augment my pills.
Yeah.
We might need to augment my medication because I am just drowning.
Yeah.
And you are sick. This is the problem with depression, and it's stigmatized because it's kind of like, we're getting better with it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, just snap out of it. Mm-hmm. Just get up and do it. You're just lazy. Whatever. Oh, everyone's got problems. And
right.
I've heard that. A lot of people have heard that. But in my personal experience of exactly this, you know, you are sick. It's the same as if you, you know, broke 5 ribs and were in bed saying, I can't get up and
vacuum.
That's
exactly right. Except you, for some reason, this society that we're in forces some kind of guilt trip, or you feel weird about it when it's mental health.
Exactly. Well, there's the stigma. There's the, you know, I don't want anyone to know.
Yeah.
Then there's putting on the happy face, which is exhausting.
Yeah.
But you're sick and you can't do all the things, not even all the things you want to do, all the things you think you should be doing.
Yeah.
Here's what I've done in that situation. Well, I have reached out to medical professionals. I have reached out to my doctor and said, I think we need to look at my meds. I have done that. I have called friends.
Yeah.
That have come over to my house and done my dishes.
Yeah.
Because my friends understood and understand what's going on.
Yes.
And not only does that help, you know, get the dishes done, it's not something I'm looking at and feeling like a failure about every time I walk anywhere.
Right.
But also, I got this care and love from a friend of mine who, you know, wants me to be okay, who wants to help me and came over to do so. And that's just a little, not that it's like, whoa, what a pick me up.
Right. It's not going to break you out of your depression, but
no.
It might be enough to crack the shell a little bit.
Maybe.
And give you a little bit of space to kind of get yourself to a better place.
Yeah. And even if that, I mean, I've talked before about when I lost my health insurance and I went on, I'm going to get really deep and talk about this briefly.
Okay.
I've spoken about two times that I went off my medications. Mm. The one that got extraordinarily dark was when I lost my health insurance. So it was not my choice to go off the medications.
Right.
And I didn't realize in time, oh, I could go to the county. I could go to other resources.
Right.
I was so bottomed out. It was so dark that I could only get from my bed to the couch. And I've said before that I watched Dickie Roberts' Child Star over and over and over and over and over again with the commentary. But what I was thinking about during that I honestly can't believe I'm going to talk about this. I would think about how sad David Spade seemed and how his best friend, Chris Farley, is dead.
Yeah.
And I would think about Chris Farley alone, wherever he was in his apartment when everybody left and then he died.
Yeah.
I would think about that constantly and relate to that as someone who was really fat, someone who was, I'm an actor, right. I'm the goofy comedian. Everyone thinks I'm so funny and hilarious. And I know I'm sitting on the couch thinking about Chris Farley that I identify with so much.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah.
For weeks.
Yeah.
That's where I went to.
Oof.
And got out of that when I did call somebody, came over and cleaned my kitchen for me and helped me understand that I could reach out to other resources to get help.
Like, yeah.
I have been where you are, Alex, and I'm out of it. I mean, I'm not extraordinarily happy.
Right.
But,
for now.
Yeah. But I have not watched Dickie Roberts Child Star since I got back on medication.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. No, I haven't. But I mean, that was just this such a vivid memory, but it's like a month long memory.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's what I did. That's what I was thinking about. And
you gotta feel like too. You know, even Chris Farley was probably in his living room at some point, kind of doing the same thing about Belushi.
Yeah.
You know?
Perhaps, yeah. And it's just a very strange thing to come back to and go like, this is an anecdote.
Yeah.
You know? But that seriously is where I was.
Yeah.
And that did not leave me. Because I was so deep in it.
Yeah.
Of course I wasn't getting up and scrubbing the toilet. Of course I wasn't doing anything. Nothing mattered.
Exactly.
Nothing matters when you're in that state.
Yeah.
But you're still left with that little voice saying, you know, well, you should be doing this.
Yeah.
Everyone else can get up and do their laundry. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, because we want to just blow off.
You want to be normal.
Yeah. You want to be normal, but you also, you know, I would tell myself the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, can't you just snap out of this? Like all the voices from other people
sure.
that haven't experienced that.
Sure.
If you haven't experienced it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy for you.
Yeah.
I'm super happy for anyone who doesn't know what that's like.
Yeah.
But it hurts and it makes things so much worse when someone without that experience gives you a pep talk.
And good Lord, how hard is it to ask for help when you're in that state?
Yeah.
How hard was it to ask your friend to come over and wash your dishes?
It was very hard because A, I'm embarrassed as shit.
Yeah, you don't want anyone to see you.
About how filthy and, I mean, not only not see me, but like my apartment was stacked with trash and takeout containers, and you know, I wasn't making bacon and eggs in the morning.
You weren't cooking.
You know, it was just, and I think I was still using at that point. Oh, I definitely was still using at that point
because
this was at the drug den.
Yeah, yeah.
But Alex, you're sick.
Yeah.
And you're not able to get up and do the things that you think you should.
And you should not be embarrassed about that. That should not be something that makes you feel guilty or upset. It just, that's how depression fucking takes over your brain.
Yeah, it does. And
it
so
it really does.
The thing, the laundry, just to put a little levity into this, just like we told Brad.
Yeah.
That when you're starting with the pinky, you don't think about the fist.
Yeah.
You're starting with trying to make a phone call.
Right.
To someone, anyone, whether it's not anyone, randomly,
seriously,
but you can start with making a phone call to a doctor,
yeah,
or to a friend,
yeah,
who can help you call a doctor.
Yeah.
That's, the laundry is way down the road and 100%. Not fucking important.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. And you could call a friend to come over, not to do the dishes, not to do laundry, just to sit there with you, just be there with you and talk with you.
Any step you make, however small, toward getting better, because all of that is you wanting to get better.
Yeah.
Calling anyone, calling the doctor, calling a friend, you know, all of that is these huge steps,
right,
that people think are, you know, this infinitesimal, you know, moves. But when you're starting out, you know, you can't lift a paperclip, let alone, you know, the laundry basket.
Exactly.
So anything you're going to do to start out is going to seem small, is going to seem like, well, I should be doing the laundry. It's like, you cannot do the laundry.
Again,
Alex, I forbid you to do the laundry.
Again, going back to your comparison, you know, if you got into an accident and broke your ribs and you were bedridden and the doctor said, okay, don't get out of bed for the next 2 weeks other than to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be doing laundry then either.
Yeah.
Right? You're not in a place where you can do random chores around the house.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone needs to do chores around the house. If you live in a house, there's chores to be done. And unless you're rich, you got to do them.
Yep.
So it's going to, you know, everyone has that. It's going to be there when you're ready. You get to your place where you're able to do it, you know, my wife doesn't have that bad of a depression issue, but she does have a hard time doing laundry sometimes because she's so busy, because she's got other things. You know, she's got a lot of important things to do. And you know what? Sometimes you pick up a pair of pants off the floor and you smell it and you dust it off and you put it on and it'll be fine.
Yes.
It'll work for another day.
Yes.
The laundry is so meaningless. It really will still be there whenever you're ready to do it.
Yeah, I'm not that great at just getting shit done either. And the amount of crotches of clothing items I have smelled just today, honestly. I was putting, because I do my laundry and then I don't put it away. Right. And then I use more laundry and I'm like, which is which?
Right.
So I was going through it, trying to see what was clean and should be put away. And it was just crotch snifferama. So that is you're speaking my truth. Clark, when you said that, I felt seen.
Good.
And
I'm
I
glad.
Felt smelled. Well, Alex, you gotta make a phone call.
Yeah.
You made a phone call to us.
You did. And that was fucking great.
You made a phone call to us. It just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Make one more phone call.
Yeah.
And that can be your choice.
Yeah.
Dealer's choice. To a doctor that you know.
Yep.
To a friend.
Yep.
Who might be able to help you. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you just come over so I can make these calls?
Mm-hmm.
I do that for other people.
Right.
Not in this depressed. I mean, I have helped plenty of friends in
this
kind of thing. But even if just somebody's overwhelmed, I have so much to do. I can't sit down and do it. I say to them, okay, what do you have to do? I need to fill out these three forms for my taxes. Okay, fill out one and call me back.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. And then they call back and they say, I did it. And I said, okay, fill out the next one.
Yeah.
And call me back. And that works for a lot of stuff. And then they might call me back and I'll say, now you get to go on Facebook for 10 minutes. Yeah. You get to throw in a little reward.
Exactly.
So if you have anyone in your life that can even show up for you on the phone, that will be enough. That will be an accomplishment.
Also, if you are in a similar state to where LB was when she was hitting her worst point, maybe you don't have insurance and we live in a stupid country right now that doesn't feel you deserve it.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you don't have the insurance, if you don't have the ability to pay to go to see a doctor, then you should call a friend and they will. I'm sure somebody can find out a way for you to see a free clinic, Go to a place that doesn't charge. There are places,
yes,
even if you don't have insurance, that can help you.
Yes.
It'll be hard for you to figure that out. If you are in a depressive state, you might not be in the mindset to search.
I didn't. It was my friend that came over to help me with my dishes. She's the one that told me before she came over, here's somewhere for you to call.
See?
And I called.
That's what you need. You need that friend that'll come and help you figure out exactly how to get medication.
Yeah.
If you have medication, if that part is already done and you are that, you know, you've checked that off the list, then yeah, maybe you don't need to call a doctor.
Yeah.
But I feel like you certainly still need to call a friend. Friends are always a good solution to this.
Although
kind of
she might be depressed because she doesn't have friends. So I don't want to put that on you.
Yeah.
But I will say, as Clark just said, from my own experience, look up your county website.
Yeah.
I think she's from Wisconsin. Yeah. I almost said, go to wisconsincounty.org.gov, but that's not a thing.
No.
You know, wherever you live, look up your actual city's website, county's website.
Yeah.
You should find resources.
There are programs for people just like you.
Yeah. And that seems like an impossible task when you're where you're at and where I was.
Yeah.
But if you're picking up the phone to call us to share this with us and ask for help, then you're fighting.
Exactly.
You are fighting.
You're ready.
And so make that one other phone call, and that's all you have to do for now.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree. That was very good advice.
I hope so. Do good, baby.
Do great. I am actually very excited because I want to say, this is our 26th episode.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This is now officially, there's 52 weeks in a year. 26 is half of 52.
Oh.
So we have hit half of a year here.
It's our 6-month anniversary.
I want to celebrate because you know what we just did?
What?
We just went through an entire episode without really talking about COVID or masks.
Wow.
Right?
Excellent.
Look at that.
Looking back, I should have said something to Brad, but that's okay. But that is amazing.
6 months. We finally got one.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it'll be a toss up. Are they going to talk about sex toys? Or is she going to mention COVID?
It's one or the other.
We'll see.
Well, I hope you had a great time today. If you guys have any questions out there, please send it to us. We would love to see any questions. Or if you, again, we're still looking for some really good choices that you need to make. If you have to make a choice between two things, let us know. We'll help you make it. Send us all your questions to asklorybeth.com, or you can follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or you can leave a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-DENBERG.
Yes, and you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and there is the Lori Beth Denberg fan page, which has a great community on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Hashtag 1 million hugs.
Yep.
Spread the word. I will be working harder than just saying hashtag 1 million hugs at the end of each episode on making that a more visible
reality
goal. Yeah. And if you want to get a personalized video from me for a loved one or for yourself or for your dogs, I have gotten ones for people's dogs.
Oh, nice.
They say, can you tell our blah, 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 blah happy anniversary, or, you know, to their doggy dogs? And I'm like, this is the cameo I was born to make. So you can book me for that at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Yeah. And don't forget, we're about the contest on Instagram. Please subscribe. And who knows, you might get a personal Zoom one-on-one with LB.
I'ma Zoom you so hard.
And don't forget to send us any fan art or remix themes. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you later.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com. Or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.